Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Let's pause for prayer, shall we? So the Lord Jesus Christ, in what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount, he comes to a close, and as he does so, he asks the question, and the question that I have read in your hearing in Luke 6 and verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Now that's a very, very important question. It's a question that goes right to the heart of what it means to be a Christian and to be a follower of the Lord Jesus. And what it really means for us to be a follower of Christ is that we are a people who not only believe in the Lord Jesus, but we are a people who are seeking with everything within us on a daily basis to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember how in what we call the Great Commission, the Lord Jesus Christ instructing the apostles and through the apostles instructing us that we are to go into all the world to make disciples, and that as we make disciples, we are to teach them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And then he gives us that wonderful promise, lo, I am with you to the end of the age. And what this text teaches us is that the best proof that here is an individual who has become a Christian, and here is a person who is a genuine follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, the proof is in the life that we live. And it should be a life of obedience, a life in which we are seeking to obey our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, that's the reason why, as we come to the end of that particular sermon, I would like us to spend the rest of our time this morning to meditate upon the words of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing I would like us to talk about is that same question that the Lord Jesus Christ asked his audience. And it's the question that the Lord Jesus Christ asks us this morning. And that's the first thing that we consider this morning, that question. And I propose to you that there are two things that we are to learn from that question that the Lord Jesus Christ asks. First of all, the first thing that we are to learn from that question is that the Lord Jesus was preaching for results. The Lord Jesus Christ was not just content to talk to people and then let them go home. But the Lord Jesus Christ was a master preacher. And as a master preacher, he wanted to apply his sermon. He wanted to apply his lessons. He has been saying so many things, and he wants people to take the things that he is teaching them, to take them seriously, to apply them to themselves. And so he asks that pointed question. He asks that searching question. And he asks that question in order that we ourselves, as we read God's word in our own day, in our own age, that we might search our hearts, search our life experience to see that these things are true of us. Because you see, and this is very important, the reason why we are to apply these things to ourselves is because it is possible to be an empty professor of Christianity. It is possible to be deceived. It is possible to claim that we are Christians and to only end up at claiming. And the Lord Jesus Christ wants to go beyond that. And so he says this is very, very important. And the way you know you are a true follower of Christ is if in fact you are seeking to obey his word in your own life. And so this is what we need to be doing frequently. We need to examine ourselves in the light of God's word. We do need to ask ourselves this question again and again. See, and this was the method of the Lord Jesus as he was teaching his disciples, as he was preaching, and as he was speaking to the masses. He was always asking those questions. For instance, notice in verse 32, the question that he asks. But if you love only those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that for you? For even sinners do the same. Then he begins to apply his word to them in verse 34. But if you lend only to those whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. Here it is now. He is underlining his command to them. But I tell you, love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. For your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, who is kind to the unfaithful and the evil. And even that portion, you remember, that we were looking at about hypocrisy, it's the same thing that he does. He begins by asking the question, why are you concerned about the speck in your brother's eye, and yet you are not as concerned about the log in your own eye? So the Lord Jesus Christ consistently asks questions, and he is seeking to help us that in our profession of faith, we must frequently examine ourselves. We must frequently apply the word of Christ to ourselves to see whether we are in fact true believers or just deceived. And may God, who is gracious and merciful, grant us the grace to be honest with ourselves and to be honest before God as we apply his word in our own experience. So by asking that question that we are looking at in verse 46, the Lord Jesus Christ informs us that it is possible to be deceived. And we have numerous examples in the Bible of people who profess faith and yet were deceived. You recall, I think it is in John chapter 6, that there were those people who were following the Lord Jesus Christ and following him not because they loved him, not because they believed in him as such. They were following him because, we are told in the Bible, he had multiplied the loaves and he had given out free food, and they were excited to follow him because they were looking for food. And we also read oftentimes that in the congregation of the people who would be listening to the Lord Jesus Christ, there were the Pharisees who were apparently following him in order to trap him, in order to hear what he's saying so that they can accuse him. And you know, there are so many people who come to church for so many reasons. And that is why it's important for us, as the word of God comes to us, to oftentimes ask ourselves the question, am I the real deal? Is this something that's genuinely happened in my life? Or I'm just happy to just play some kind of religious activity because this is my family custom from my childhood. So we do need to examine ourselves. We do need to apply God's word to ourselves. We need to be serious with God's word. And you see, God's word does not come to us just to tickle us. This is not like an exercise that we do because we do so every Sunday. We must have dealings with Almighty God. We are dealing here with the very word of God. And the most important question that we can ask ourselves at the end of it all is to say, how does this affect me personally? And so that is why we have to consider that important question of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you call me Lord? Why do I refer to Jesus Christ as my Lord? Is it true that he is Lord? That his voice carries weight in my life? That if there is something I hear from him, from his word, from his people, and he speaks to me, and I see that there's an area in my life in which this is not true, am I concerned? That is what it means to have Jesus as Lord. His word must have the final authority in your life and in your conduct. So you must be seeking to apply it to yourself and not just saying, Lord, Lord. But secondly, the reason why it's important for us to consider that question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, is that in the mind of our Savior, in the mind of Christ, there is a link between your profession of faith and your life. There is a direct link between professing to be a Christian and living to be a Christian. And what the Lord Jesus Christ is warning us is that we must not find ourselves in a situation where what we profess is different from the way we live. So if you do profess, if you do claim, if you do happily tell people, Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life, well, prove it by the way you live. Let your conduct, let your lifestyle, let the way you live your life speak for you that indeed, in fact, the reason why you live the way you live, the reason why you conduct yourself the way you do is because Jesus Christ is Lord in your life. And this morning, that's the question that confronts us, beloved brothers and sisters. Is Jesus Christ Lord in my life? Jesus Christ, Lord, in my home? Is Jesus Christ, Lord, in my workplace? Is there enough evidence for people who know me to convict me of the fact that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, that I'm seeking to obey the Lord Jesus Christ, that I'm seeking to comply with his life, rather with his commands in my life. And so I say to you, that's the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ is asking us that question. There is a direct link between our profession and our behavior. If you noticed last week, the Lord Jesus Christ warned us and told us that there is a link between the condition of your heart and your lifestyle. There's a link between the condition of your heart and what your tongue talks about. There is a link there. But this morning, he's telling us there is a link. Or if you're a true Christian, there should be a link between your profession of faith and your behavior, your lifestyle. It is not just enough to say Jesus is Lord. When you do say that Jesus is your Savior, Jesus is your Lord, that you have given your life to him, that he has come and in fact transformed your life, that there should be evidence in your lifestyle to prove or to attest to that profession of faith. But in his bid to apply his message to us this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ is not content just to ask us the question. He gives us the parable of contrasts. He gives us a parable of contrast. And the parable there is, he talks about in verse 47, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundations on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. And then verse 49, he tells us, but he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So the Lord Jesus Christ goes on then to give us that parable in order to underscore, in order to emphasize the importance of the fact that we must not just profess, not just say Jesus is Lord, but that we must be committed, we must be concerned to live our lives in obedience to his word. So he gives us those two examples that are very, very easy for us to understand. And he says that the man who hears and he does what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, he says he's like a man who is building a house. And the most important thing when you're building a house is to have a foundation. And here the Lord Jesus Christ in his example, he tells us that he dug deep and he laid the foundation on the rock. That's what he's like. And then he tells us why that is something that's important. Because he says there's going to be two things that are going to happen. That house was tested. That house was put under severe trial. He tells us that there was a flood that arose. The stream beat vehemently against that house, and thankfully he tells us there, could not shake it because it was founded on the rock. Beloved friends, That's the warning that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving all of us. That if we are seeking to obey the Lord Jesus, that we are building a house with our lives. And there's going to be two sorts of trials. There's going to be, first of all, the trials that come in this life, that will come and they will test you severely. They will test you severely. But if you are a person who is genuinely, you're not saying you're going to do this perfectly, but you're a person who genuinely is building your life on obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have come to see yourself as one who is completely lost. That you have come to see yourself as one who is desperately in need of pardon and cleansing. And that you find this pardon and cleansing in Jesus Christ, the crucified Lamb of God. And that having given your life to him, that on a daily basis you are seeking to hear his voice and to obey him and to comply with his command. He says you're going to be tested. And if you've been building your house or your life like that, you will be tested. And the good thing, the good news, is that you will stand strong. Despite the severe testing that will come. And then after that testing that happens in this life, there's going to be that ultimate test of the storm of the wrath of God that will come to sweep everyone who is not in Christ. And he says, of those that are living their lives because they are seeking to obey the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will be safe. And he also gives us an example of those who, having heard, they do nothing. He says it's like a man building a house without a foundation. And he says when that test comes, when the trial comes, when the storms of life come, they will make a terrible shipwreck of their profession. The reason why they will make shipwreck is because they are not building on the foundation, who is Jesus Christ, the Lord. In other words, what is it that the Lord Jesus Christ is really teaching us in this passage? Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us that if we are his true disciples, we must be seeking to obey our Savior. This is the inclination. This should be the direction. This should be the bent of our lives. That the longer we live here, there's only one thing that should preoccupy our minds, and is to want to know the mind of Christ, is want to hear the voice of our Savior and to obey his voice. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ himself said. He says, my sheep, what do? They hear my voice. And that is what should preoccupy our time here on earth. To hear the voice of our good shepherd. And to seek to obey that voice. To seek to comply with the dictates of the voice of our Savior. My friends, this is what we need to be asking ourselves. Am I hearing the voice of the chief shepherd? Am I listening to him? Am I obeying him every day? And when I see I have been disobeying, am I willing to repent, to renew my repentance, and to follow afresh with new evangelical obedience to follow my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? So the end of the Sermon on the Mount is simply this. Obedience is non-negotiable. If you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what is going to distinguish you. Obedience to the Master. Obedience to the Master. And you know, there are many things that may happen or may not happen in our church. There are many struggles that we might go through. But at an individual level, at your own personal level, that is the question that preoccupies your mind. Am I obeying my Master? Am I growing in hearing His voice and more seeking to obey Him, seeking to put into practice the things that He has taught me? And all of us who are gathered here, you will discover, if you take a good assessment of yourself, that we know more than we are willing to obey. And therefore, this morning, my plea to you, my plea to all of us, is to go home asking ourselves, Lord, remind me more and more of the areas in which I need to obey you more. God is not asking you to do things that you don't know. There is a lot we know. And yet the truth of the matter is that what we do is more often than not less than the things we know. We need to be concerned about growing in our obedience to our Savior, to obey Him. His word becomes paramount, important in my own life and practice. It's not just enough to call Him Lord, but seeking to obey Him. So is that your life? Am I describing you this morning? Are you that kind of disciple who is deeply concerned about the voice of your Master? And as I've already hinted at, if you are not seeking to obey, you are setting yourself up for a tragic failure in the time of testing. Tragic failure in the time of trial. Because you are not building your life on Christ. We build our lives on Christ by hearing His voice and obeying Him. Hearing His voice and obeying Him. Hearing His voice and saying to myself, saying to ourselves again and again, how does this apply to me today? The Lord Jesus Christ is not just speaking to you for the fun of it. When He speaks to you, when He speaks to me, it is so that we might obey Him. And as we obey Him, build our lives stronger so that we might be ready in the time of trial, in the time of testing, and be able to stand those trials. So are you that kind of disciple? Are you that kind of person who loves the Lord Jesus and loves Him, wanting to obey His commands? In our reading, you recall, we went to 1 John and chapter 2. And let me call your attention as I come to a close. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. And the Apostle John writing, he says this, "He who says he abides in him," now in him there he's speaking about abiding in Christ, "he who says he abides in Christ ought himself also to walk just as he walked." What is the Apostle John saying to us? It's exactly the same point that the Lord Jesus Christ is making in the Sermon on the Mount as he applies his word to us. He says, look, if you want to make the profession that you are a Christian, and if you're making that profession, you're basically saying you are in Christ. Well, here is what the Apostle John is saying. Well, if you are in Christ, this is what is going to be true about you. You must walk just like the Lord Jesus Christ walked. And how did the Lord Jesus Christ walk? He tells us that he came here to obey the Father. And he did this every single day that he spent on earth until he was taken to the cross. And even when he was going to the cross, it was in obedience to the Father's will. So the apostle is saying to you and to me, we have to be obedient if we are in Christ. That being in Christ is going to be shown by our obedience to him. And so I want to challenge you this morning. I want to remind you this morning, are you a person who is seeking to obey the Lord Jesus? Every day as you wake up, as you face the day before you, is that thought paramount in your mind? I am to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has given me another day, another opportunity to see how I can serve him. I can be obedient to him. I can live out my life in obedience to the Lord Jesus. But at the end of the day, he will be able to say to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been obedient. You have been obedient." That's the point. That's what he was saying to the servant. You have been obedient over the little, and then I'll put you over large. Are you obedient to the Lord Jesus? Does it bother you? Is it something you are concerned about, to be obedient to your master, to your savior, to the one who laid down his life for the sheep? And so I do call upon you, friend, and I do want to encourage you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will turn to him, believe on him, and seek to obey him all the days of your life. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask that very important and pointed question that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, posed at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, that same question will come to us with great conviction. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I tell you? Grant, loving Father, in the light of that question, that we might be a people who are seeking to be honest with ourselves and seeking to be honest before you, to seek to be obedient to your word, that when we come to the end of our lives, the end of our stay here in this world, we might look back with joy and great gratitude that we were obedient to our Savior. Hear us then, and be gracious to us, that Jesus Christ alone be honored, because we ask in His name.